Good morning, everyone. Please turn with me to the book of Exodus, and we're looking at the chapter 1, just one verse today, Exodus chapter 1, and it's the last verse of that chapter. Exodus chapter 1, and it's the last verse. And Pharaoh charged, that is, gave strict instructions, all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Now we're looking at Moses and considering him as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're very right in doing that. We're very correct in thinking of Moses as one who is like the Lord Jesus Christ, because he himself said toward the end of his life, he told the people of Israel, and I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 18 and the verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. So we've no doubt that Moses is a picture of the Lord Jesus. He told us in this prophecy of Christ, he's called here a prophet. And the Lord Jesus was, of course, a prophet. And Moses says, the Lord's going to raise you up a prophet, a leader. And he's like me. He's like me. That's the most marvelous statement. Now, I'll not go over what I've already said about it. But there are many, many similarities between Moses and the Lord Jesus. We've looked at one, going to the very beginning of Moses' life. We've looked at how there was the birth of Moses, and he was born in similar circumstances to the Lord Jesus. Both of them were born under bondage. Moses was born a child of the Hebrews in the day when the Hebrew race, the Hebrew people living in Egypt, were born slaves. And the Lord Jesus was born of Mary. And at that time, the Jewish people were born slaves. Perhaps not in quite the same rigorous bondage as the Hebrews in Egypt, but nevertheless, they were the slaves of Rome. They had to do what Rome told them. Rome was in charge, and in Israel, there were many garrisons of Roman soldiers to make sure that the Jews did what the Romans wanted them to do. And into that situation, the Lord Jesus was born. So there is a likeness between him and Moses in the circumstances of their birth. But I think we can go a little further regarding his birth. You see the verse I just read to you in Exodus chapter 1 and the verse 22, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. This was a new decree, a new law, brought in by Pharaoh. When he saw that the rigorous bondage that he had placed the Hebrew people under was not in the least stopping them increasing. They were still, as a people, beginning to increase in number. And the vigorous bondage that Pharaoh had placed them under, that wasn't stopping this increase. So he saw the numbers increasing. He said, I better do something more. I know what I'll do. Every boy that's born will kill that boy. Did you ever wonder how Aaron, Moses' older brother, escaped? Moses, he was threatened. His mother had to take special steps, you remember, to safeguard his life. But there wasn't a threat upon Aaron. Why was that? Well, the explanation, I think, is rather simple. This law about killing every male child came into existence after the birth of Aaron. So Aaron was a baby, one, two, and then the law came in. So he wasn't to be a victim. It was the next child that was born in the family, and that was Moses. So that's how Aaron escaped that awful death sentence. But isn't he like the Lord Jesus? Did not the Lord Jesus face the same sort of a threat as soon as he was born? Another king, this time King Herod, was moved in his jealousy. feeling threatened by the news that came to him from the wise man that there was one born king of the Jews. And old Herod said, "What? But I'm king. This is a threat to me. Here's danger. I better get rid of this king." So he cunningly said to the wise man, "Oh, by the way, when you find him at Bethlehem, now you come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him." Deceitful old rascal that he was, because he hadn't any plans to worship the Lord Jesus. He had plans to kill him. So here we see a likeness. Moses is born under a threat of death, and the Lord Jesus in like fashion. It was the same spirit at work, you know. The spirit that moved Pharaoh to seek the death of all the male children is the same spirit that moved Herod to seek the death of the one born king of the Jews. It was the devil moved both those men, though hundreds and hundreds of years apart. Yet it was the devil that moved both these men against the people of God, and particularly in an attempt to cut off the Messiah. You see, if every male child in Israel was killed, then there could never be a Messiah born. And the devil knew that. And so he engineered this attack. And he was attempting to destroy God's purpose and God's plan to bring about the Messiah being born in Israel. Of course, as we know, Pharaoh failed. God intervened, delivered his people. And in like fashion, the Lord intervened to the saving of the Lord Jesus as an infant. But the devil ever has this enmity, this desire to kill off God's Messiah. He has failed. He tried it again in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember when the Lord sweat great drops of blood? He was in mortal combat there. Mortal combat with the devil. And he prayed to his Father that he might be delivered, that he might not have to drink the cup of death there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And God heard him. And the Lord Jesus didn't die in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he went on to die at the cross. Now, if he had been killed in Gethsemane, no cross, no redemption, no salvation. That was the devil's plan. But again, he was thwarted. And although he cannot now kill the Messiah, he does try to destroy and kill off the influence of the Messiah, the message of the Messiah, the gospel. And so, since the days of the apostles, the gospel has been unrelentingly opposed by the devil. And it's opposed today. Attacks of every form and shape come upon it. And you will hear from the devil and from his agents. And there will be that attempt to fill your mind with that which is contrary to the gospel, so that there might be a killing off of the gospel and its power and its effects in your life. The devil attends every meeting where the gospel is preached, and he seeks to stop the sinner getting saved. He interrupts the thought pattern of the sinner. He stops them listening, stops them attending, gives them something else to occupy them and distract them. That's the unrelenting opposition of the devil to Christ and his gospel. And away back there in the days of Pharaoh, that's what was happening. Kill off the male children. Kill them off, and there never can be a Messiah. And that will bring an end to God's plan. So we see a parallel there in the Savior and Moses. Both of them targeted by the devil. But let me suggest to you one more little parallel. I did tell you we have quite a few, but they're worthwhile examining. There's so much theology in examining the likeness of Moses to Christ. We learn a lot of things about the Lord Jesus. Now, you remember that Moses was brought up in the house of Pharaoh, in the palace. He was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh. She looked on him and called him her son. Boys and girls, there is a parallel. Maybe some of you are already beginning to think about it. Moses was the child of another woman But wonderful circumstances took place whereby he was brought into the household of Pharaoh and adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and raised by Pharaoh's daughter as her son. Is that not like the Lord Jesus? Just like Moses, who had a mother, a natural mother, but he was taken away, brought up under the care of Pharaoh's daughter. He never saw his father, it would appear. He was just brought up by his mother. Now, there is here a wonderful figure of the virgin birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of Mary, but he didn't have an earthly father. He was not the son of Joseph. Everybody thought of him as the son of Joseph. He was brought up in Joseph's home, but he was not the son of Joseph. By a wonderful miracle, the Lord Jesus was born of Mary. He who had been forever, throughout the eons of eternity, dwelling with his heavenly Father in heaven, left that home, came down to earth, was taken into the home of Mary and Joseph, and there raised as Mary's son. I'm sure you can see a likeness, a helpful likeness, I think, an instructive likeness. We can figure out, as it were, something of the mystery of the virgin birth of Christ when we think of the circumstances in which Moses was raised, born, belonging to one home, but then brought to another and raised by the daughter of Pharaoh. So the Lord Jesus came from his father's home, was born wonderfully of the Virgin Mary, and will forever be her son. He was raised by Mary. There's a parallel there. I hope you think about it. One other thing, because we have a minute or two left. His childhood, both the childhood of Moses and of the Lord Jesus Christ, are linked with Egypt. It's rather strange, you know, that when the Savior was very young, we read in Matthew chapter 2 and the verse 13. Now listen to these words. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. Isn't it strange that the Lord Jesus spent part of his very early life in Egypt? He went there in order to avoid the threat that faced him from Herod's court. So the Lord directed Joseph, take Mary and the child and go away down into Egypt and find refuge there. And in like fashion, God provided a refuge for Moses when he was threatened. You remember the little ark of bulrushes, which in turn was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and she hearing the child cry, little baby cry, probably with hunger. She had the child drawn out of the water, and she would have lifted the little baby up on her arms. And you know what it's like. No matter who the little baby is, your heart is just warmed by looking into their face. And I look into the face of some of you, and I can remember when you were little babies, and when you lifted you up, your heart was warmed looking at you. I don't know what happened to you, but we'll go no further down that particular road. But you know what it's like. And there would have been Pharaoh's daughter, and her heart would have swelled with feeling and emotion and love for the child. And you know, I have to admire the sister of Moses, Miriam, because she had been on the bank of the river looking out for the child. And she immediately ran forward to Pharaoh's daughter and said, would you like me to get one of the Hebrew to look after this little baby, to be a nurse to this little baby in your house? And Pharaoh's daughter thought, oh, that's a very good idea. Yes, you do that. So she went away and got the mother of Moses. And the mother of Moses came, and she raised her own son in the household of Pharaoh. And she was paid to do it. I often said that's the first example in the Bible of the family allowance. Not many women folk long, long ago were paid to raise their own children. They didn't get the allowances that are available today by any means at all. But here was one. Oh, how wonderful is God, that the child that the devil planned to destroy and murder and slay is now being raised in royal riches and abundance in the household of Pharaoh by his own mother. And she's being paid to do it. That's how God can work. That's how God can work. So there is the parallel again. The Lord Jesus is down in Egypt, in hiding, safeguarded from the threat of those up there in Israel who would see him slain. And he finds sanctuary down in Egypt. Well, boys and girls, God has written into the various histories, ancient histories of the Bible, likenesses, shadows of the great story of redemption and the manifesting of the Lord Jesus as Savior. We'll leave it there, but we'll come back again tomorrow in the will of the Lord. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, I do ask thee to help us to grasp the likenesses, the parallels. For Lord, in seeing these things in ancient history, we see how old the plan of God to send the Lord Jesus as Savior is. We see that it was ever in the mind of the Father, and circumstances in the lives of his people were so planned as to illustrate, to foreshadow the coming of the Messiah. Please bless the children today. May they love their Messiah. May they love their God. May they be thankful for how he has wondrously worked out the plan of redemption whereby they, poor sinners, might get to heaven. Apply your word to our hearts then today. We ask of thee in Jesus' name. Amen.